In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. As Americans, we are defiant, aren't we? Probably some of the most defiant people in the history of the world. Our very country was birthed as an act of defiance, wasn't it? A tea party in defiance of taxes. A declaration of independence in defiance of the British Empire. And a war, a revolutionary war in defiance of the empire's presence. This ethos is baked into us as Americans in our hundreds of years as a country. We hate people telling us where to go, what to do. We want to be free. We want to be able to make our own decisions. We want freedom to say whatever we want, to do whatever we want, to assemble wherever we want, to carry guns wherever we want. We want to have sex with whomever and whatever we want. We want to be and identify as whatever we want. And we hate government control. Vaccine mandates, mask mandates, seatbelt mandates, these kind of things make Americans incredibly angry. We want to be our own bosses, our own lords. We want to be in charge of our lives, masters of our own destinies. But this isn't just an American thing. This is what Adam and Eve wanted as they ate that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. They wanted their own path, their own life apart from God's oppressive rules. And I see this all around us. I see this in my own kids. From day one, it seems like they were born with an incredibly strong will, wanting to be their own lords. I see it in my wife. I see it in myself, especially in myself. Paul's words from Ephesians come to us as defiant people this morning. He challenges us, saying, Christ is far above every ruler, authority, power, government, and name, not only in this age, but also in the age which is arriving. The defiant side of us loves this text on some level. We love to hear that Jesus is above those governments and rulers. Yeah, take that, you rulers and governments. Jesus is Lord and King. Yeah, but this text isn't permission for our defiant attitudes. It reaches into every corner of our defiant lives. It's not just about the governments and the bosses that we don't want to listen to. This is about the things that we love most. Things that are most dear to us. At the very core, this is about our egos. This is about you. This is about me. Every authority, Paul tells us, is below Jesus. All are under his feet, Paul tells us. There's only one boss, one Lord, that we really answer to when all is said and done. And yet, we try to serve many masters, so many lords, so many gods. But Jesus tells us explicitly we cannot serve even two masters, much less the dozens that we try to serve. So hearing this text, we have to ask ourselves, who or what are we really serving? When the nation says to us, kill for me, consume for me, do we listen? What do we do? When our boss says, I need you to look the other way on this thing, I need you to treat this person in an inhuman way and sort of toss them aside and use them so that we can make money. What do? When your family comes to you and says, put me first. Protect me at all costs. Give me everything that I want. What do? And when your ego pipes up and says, I want this. I need this. I need to survive. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to be wrong. What do we do? Abraham is often called our father in the faith. His journey was an interesting one. It started off with a lot of failures where Abraham failed to put the one Lord in his proper place. Abraham's early journey trying to follow the Lord is one where he's constantly putting other things in the place of God. Whether it's when Abraham and his family get hungry and he suddenly falls down before the feet of the Egyptian nation, begging them for food to take care of him, throwing his own wife under the bus just so he can get taken care of by Egypt. Or later, when he submits to every whim of his wife's desire, when she wants him to sleep with Hagar, his servant, so that they can have a family. She really wants a child of her own, and Abraham gives in. But let's be honest, behind all of this was Abraham's own ego. God had said he would be a father of many nations, and man, did he want that to happen. And so he was doing everything that he could to put himself at the pinnacle. But Abraham's journey doesn't end with these failures. After decades of waiting on God, decades of failures of putting God in his proper place, Abraham gets it. And this one final moment that should chill all of us to the bones, God says, I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. Imagine what he must have heard from his wife. As the child that she had waited on for 90 years, he takes from her and says, we must go on a journey up a mountain. This child belongs to God. Imagine the protests of his own son begging him, no, father, what are you doing? Why would you tie me down on the altar? How dare you? Father, don't you love me? And imagine Abraham's own ego. Abraham, what are you doing? You have a responsibility to your wife, to your son. Abraham, God promised that you would be a father of many nations. This is your chance. This is your moment, Abraham. You can't kill him. This is it. Everything you've been longing and praying for decades, Abraham. But Abraham had learned over decades of struggle that there's one Lord. That he had to put everything at the feet of that Lord, his wife, his son that he had been praying for, and his own ego. And so Abraham lifted the knife that day, ready to do the Lord's will. Why? For no other reason than God asked. And in that moment, the Lord interrupts Abraham and says, Abraham, put that knife down. I see the truth of your priorities, Abraham. I see that you finally understand what it means for me to be your Lord. And there on that mountain, the Lord provided another sacrifice, a ram in the bushes. But let's be honest, the spiritual knife had already been raised and had already been swung. That day, Abraham let go of his idols, his wife's, his son, his own ego. That day, he was serving the Lord over every authority, over every ruler. God alone was what he cared about. Jesus is a kind and patient Lord. He lets us get away with a lot. We could disobey and ignore him for days, months, years, decades even. He doesn't send the police to hunt us down. But just because we get away with our disobedience to Jesus doesn't mean he's not Lord. The day is coming. The hour is coming when we least expect it, when we will all stand before the judgment seat of God and have to answer for our lives, answer for our choices, for our words, for which masters we answered to. And this judgment is already happening. You have already begun to answer for your decisions in this life. Who have you been listening to? Who have you been obeying? Who has really been your Lord when all was said and done? Our nation? Your work? Your family? Spouse? Children? Your ego? Your desires? Jesus is a Lord of incredible forgiveness. And his patience is pointing us towards that. Repent and be forgiven, Paul challenges us in the opening of Ephesians. Turn back from your false lords. Turn away from putting the nation in the place that belongs to God alone. Turn away from putting your work and boss in the place that belongs to God alone. Turn away from putting your spouse and children in the place that belongs to God alone. Turn away from putting your ego, yourself, your need for survival, for your dreams, for your ambitions, put those things away so that Jesus alone may be Lord. Turn away and be forgiven. All will be washed clean. Nothing, no failure, just like Abraham's. All of the failures that he had had, gone in a moment's instance. The moment he was ready to turn to the Lord with an open heart, faith that said, Lord, I'm here to do your will. As the Lord says, I do not desire the death of those who are selfish, but that they would turn away from their selfishness and live. A new start, a clean slate. The true Lord offers us forgiveness. The other lords, they don't really offer us meaningful forgiveness. In fact, they hold grudges. They hold their expectations over our heads and make our lives miserable when we put them in the place of God. But if we turn to the one Lord, he forgives. He gives life when there's only death with those other lords. America is under Jesus' feet. Your bosses are under Jesus' feet. Your family is under Jesus' feet. And you are under Jesus' feet. We have forgiveness for our failures. Immediately and instantly, turn to the Lord with all your heart. He is the Lord over every authority, including you. Amen.